Yeah. In my office, if they don't work, I throw them. Well, good morning. That was weak. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I need to start with a correction from last week. So when the Mershbrocks were here, they shared that two Pranger men came to Texas and heard what they had to say. That was a true statement. But the two Pranger men that went to Texas weren't the two guys that all came from. The Lord began to speak to two ladies that are sitting here, which is my wife and my sister Shelley, about what he wanted to do in the kids. I would like to tell you I was spiritual enough that originated in my mind. It did not. It was two stay-at-home moms who felt somewhat insignificant at times, didn't feel like they were doing what everyone else was doing, and fought that a lot. I remember that. And the Lord began to speak to them about some very significant things that had a lot more to do with the future than had to do with the moment in time. And they're the two that started hearing the Lord say, there's power in your children. There's a Holy Spirit that should not be minimized, but should be turned loose in your kids at young ages. They prayed with kids that were our kids and other kids. As a matter of fact, I look around the room and I think a lot of the people that I see here now that are in their young 20s went through a lot of Shelley's youth groups in her barn in different times. And I look back and I see a lot of faces. But I would tell you that did not originate with us. We happened to be there. And when I heard Charlotte speak that word about the Holy Spirit in their children, it resonated with me like, I've heard that. That's going on. So I want to thank the two ladies that it actually originated with, and that's my wife and my sister Shelley, and that not only did they hear it, but they acted on it. They started a thing called Prayer Posse. How many years ago was that, Shelley? 20 years ago. Getting kids anywhere from couldn't read and write yet to on up into teenagers and teaching them how to pray. Getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, kids that were walking in power to the point where I can remember being sick on the couch and asking our 3 and 4 year olds to pray over me, and I remember the Holy Spirit saying, "Don't minimize it." Lindsay was showing up at that time, before Jimmy laid eyes on her, stole her away from all of us. Yeah, so a lot of history there, but don't minimize what the Holy Spirit's going to do in your kids and what he's doing in the next generation. We're seeing and we're beginning to reap the benefit of that and what we're seeing here. But your 3-year-old might be running a matchbox car on your forehead and saying, Jesus, heal him. Go with it. I'm not joking. They don't know what they don't know. They don't know enough to be contaminated like the rest of us. They don't know enough what not to believe. Go with it. But I just wanted to put that out there. The story they shared was accurate. It just wasn't the whole story. So thank you guys for leading the way. So the title of my message today is What Gets Measured Gets Managed. I did not coin that. But a guy, and I don't know, I heard it from a guy that works for us named Tim Huerta. Tim Huerta is our CFO. Tim and I couldn't be more opposite, starting with that he's smart and I'm not. We could just start there. And we could go on. We couldn't be more opposite. So we don't always click, but there are times when he says things and I'm like, man, I never thought about that. Nick will probably tell me after church that was mine. Tim stole that from me. But I heard that. And the impact of that statement where I was at in business was like, man, that's absolutely a true statement. So true is it that I wrote it on top of I have a weekly staff meeting and I have notes that I carry through and just change that up. But it's been on my iPad for probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years now. What gets measured gets managed. What you pay attention to, what you take the time to measure, you will manage. You'll put your, and it ties to so many things in the Bible. Where the last time I spoke in February, I talked about where the out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So the things that matter to you come out. yesterday we were sold some bulls, and so we raise registered Angus bulls. We test those bulls in Michigan and Indiana. So we raise them, we take them down to these test stations, and they feed test them against all other breeders in Michigan. We probably test our bulls against somewhere around 60 or 70 breeders in Michigan and Indiana. It's pretty interesting to put your bulls in with everybody else's, and then they feed test them and they evaluate them and on several traits. And as I was thinking about this, I drove to Bedford yesterday, so I've preached this message like four times to myself in the truck yesterday, so you guys should be good. But the point was, yesterday was sale day. The bulls that made the sale, how did they compete with everything else? It's a measurement. This is what we were doing. This is what we're breeding for. How did they stack up, which is what everyone else is doing? How did they sell in the market? How were they received? Blah, blah, blah. All of you actually used a matrix this morning, if you drove, more than likely, whether you're subconsciously did it or not. You probably looked down at the gas gauge when you got in the car. I don't know if you live in a household that on Sunday morning, notoriously, there's no gas in the vehicle. But if you're not, in my house, I always look at the gas gauge because it's been a history of always being empty on Sunday morning. But it's a gauge. If you drive that vehicle, you got in there and you looked at it. And so Tim Huerta, who works for us, several years ago, built what we call our dashboard. I think Nick was actually the brainchild behind it. Tim actually put it into motion, but we have what we call our dashboard. And we put our business in real time. They did, I did, and I'm just a benefactor of it. But there's not a job that we're doing, whether it's a $5,000 job or $1 million job, that within 1 week's time, we can't tell you how many invoices down to what was purchased yesterday at a hardware store is entered into that. We're that real time. The only thing that's lagging is our labor lags about 1 week from off of our payroll. But if I wanted to evaluate jobs, all time cards are going to go in tomorrow. By Tuesday morning around noon, I could get and look at any job that is my job and tell you where we're at exactly on that job. That's what we call our dashboard. But at the time, what gets measured gets managed. And what it's done is it's made us more efficient. We can react to problems. We can actually react in real time. The first 20 years of my life in business, everything was in the rearview mirror by 30 to 60 days. So I couldn't evaluate anything until we would actually closed out the job, looked at everything. And so what's the value? There's a lot of value. What gets measured gets managed. So what does this have to do with us? Well, I want to talk to you this morning about fruit. And I want to talk to you about your fruit. So I find it interesting for me that when we start talking about fruit, it's really, really easy to evaluate fruit in other people. You know what I'm saying? You stand and look across the room like, I know everything that's wrong with Ben. It's not hard to figure out. Just Ben. And Joe's like, yes, I can help you with that, Uncle Chris. So if I spend enough time around Ben, it's just obvious, Ben, this is what's wrong with you, dude. Like, what? Just do this, this, and this, right? That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about your fruit, you. I'm not talking about anyone else. I'm not talking about even your spouse. I'm not talking about your best friend. I'm talking about you. Is there a matrix that you are using to evaluate the fruit of the Spirit in your own life? Are you evaluating that? Are you looking at it? Are you focused on it? So I'll be honest with you, I don't a lot. This is me, the Lord coming back and tapping me on the shoulder. It's very easy in the situations that we deal with. We deal with people every day, right? So the scripture starts out, let's look at a scripture real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Now let me set this up just a little bit. I always like to point out the red letter edition, and when I'm with Matt, he laughs and he says, it's all red letter, it's all God. But for this point, this is Jesus speaking. And he starts in this whole conversation, actually in the beginning of chapter 5, and he's speaking to a great multitude. And that conversation starts in chapter 5 and verse 2, and I'm not going to read all this, but it goes all the way through 6 and all the way through 7. But what I want to pick up is he's making several points. But in chapter 7, verse 15, it says this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Our grapes get gathered from thorn bush. Man, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. You will recognize them by their fruits. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of religion built out of that scripture. And there's a lot of truth in that scripture. Jesus is the one that's pointing it out. You will know them by their fruit. But what we have done is that most of us, I would say all of us, struggle to be qualified to be fruit inspectors. Because we don't know the heart of the person. And sometimes, I mean, just go back through stories in history of pastors who are preaching phenomenal messages, and there's an anointing, and there's a truth, and all of a sudden you find out this man's involved in an extramarital affair. He's living in sin, right? You don't know. And you look back at all of his messages, and you're like, so was that all wrong? Was God not using him? Did everything he say, was it no longer relevant? At the same time as Christians, we'll go to a restaurant and see someone that's sitting in there that we know that's drinking a beer, or going out and you see them out in the street and they got a dip of tobacco in, or they're smoking a cigarette, and we're appalled by it. That's bad. They can't be a Christian and do those things. Is that true? So both sides of the coin, you see what I'm saying? I'm saying is we're not qualified in most cases to judge that, and yet we do. That's why today's message is not based on that. I'm going to put that back in your lap, and I'm going to say, that's between you and God, because I will tell you, you will have to do that at times in your life, because that's what Jesus pointed out. You'll have to determine if that's a false prophet. You'll have to determine if that's the Spirit of God. You'll have to determine if that the acts of that person are more consistent with not being a Christian than being a Christian. The big factor of that is time. So, but my point is not this. Unfortunately, though, religion has made it about this. So all of us Christians walk around pointing out the speck in someone else's eye without taking the plank out of our own. So that's the message today. What about you? Because we can't control what that guy was doing or what that person was doing in that restaurant and evaluate that. Is it really necessary? It might be. But today we're not talking about that. We're talking about the fruit that is in you. And is there a matrix? I would submit to you today, there is a matrix. There is a measurement because it references it. Let's look at John chapter 15. A very familiar scripture. And I'm going to step over here. That I realize I can't read that. Fan's shining that light on my Bible. I'm like... Jesus, chapter 1, or 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. I'm going to stop there. Abide... kind of wear you out a little bit. Abide in those 10 verses. It says abide 10 times. 10 times. 10 times. Abide. Don't lose track of that word in this meet, what I'm getting ready to share with you, because you can take away from what I'm getting to share with you a list. You can take away from what I'm getting ready to share with you a formula, and you will have missed the point. So I'm setting this up ahead of time. I'm not giving you a list to do. I am going to challenge you to evaluate yourself, and I'm going to show you how to evaluate yourself. But when you get done with that, I'm going to bring you back to here. I'm going to close with this. I'm telling you what I'm closing with. The key is abiding. And that's why Jesus belabors that. If you haven't read it, read it again. But that right there, there's a matrix hidden in that as well. There's fruit, there's more fruit, and there's much fruit. There's different degrees. Do you have fruit? Do you have more fruit than you had before? Do you have a lot of fruit now? Maybe you had a lot of fruit, and now you just have some fruit. Read it. I just read it to you. There's three levels of fruit in there. There's a matrix. There's a measurement. There's a bull test going on. The best bull's here and the worst bull's here. And the crop we harvested last year, the field was this and that field was that. There's a measurement. There is fruit. There's more fruit and there's much fruit. But why does it say abide 10 times? Because Jesus is more focused about the abiding. And if you will focus on the abiding, you'll bear fruit. It's the key. Let's look at another scripture. Familiar scripture. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, 3 through 9 says this. Another familiar scripture. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There's a matrix. There's several scenarios in there where there's no yield. Rocky places, thorny places, weedy places. They don't produce. They choke out what was planted. There's no fruit there. Seed was sown, but nothing was produced because of those scenarios. That's a possibility. Then there's 30-fold, which let's convert this to bushels in the world that I live, and there's 30 bushels to the acre. There's 60 bushels to the acre, and there's 100 bushels to acre. There's a matrix. Why is that in there? I would submit to you that they're one and the same about the abiding place. Because the ground type has to do with the abiding. You can't disconnect those. If you're good soil, it's because you're abiding. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to plow that dirt, if you will, to work up the hard places, to do those things. If the Word of God, if what I'm sharing with you today is seeding in your heart, it's because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to say, okay, I'm talking to you, Chris. I'm talking to you, Jimmy. I'm talking to you, Matt, or whoever else. You're taking that seed that is being put out there, and you're like, I'm going to plant that, and I'm not going to till that up, or I'm not going to let that just fall on hard places. I'm going to listen. Is there fruit in your life? I'm not talking about your neighbor. I am not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about you. Is there fruit in your kids' life? And I'm not talking about whether they're going to church or they're not going to church. I'm talking about, is there evidence of fruit in their life that's one-on-one with them? And I'm going to get to that here in just a second. If there's not, then we're just playing church. Right? So what is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the matrix? I would submit to you there is a matrix. There is a measuring device. It's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This is where the whiteboard comes into play. But let me read it first. Galatians 5, 22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." What is the fruit of the Spirit? You guys have already heard me say this because I say this many, many times. I say this because it became a revelation to me a long time ago. The fruit of the Spirit is fruit of living in the Spirit. Apple trees produce apples. You don't have to tell them to do it. It's what they do. A healthy apple tree that is planted in good soil, taking the proper nourishment, is going to produce apples. Yes, there's a little more to it, but it basically is. I can tell you this, it isn't going to grow oranges. Right? We all agree on that? You can't produce love. You can imitate it. You can work with it. You can grow into it a little bit. You can't produce agape love. Agape love is unconditional love. It's how God loves. You can love as long as someone's loving you. You can love as long as things are going your way. You can love over time as you grow into a relationship with someone. You can't produce peace. You can't produce joy. You can produce happiness, circumstantial. You can produce some things that look like it, but I'm talking about the real things. Those are things that come from a relationship with the Father. Those are things that come, those are fruits that come out of that relationship that are real. So what are those? What's the matrix? So if I don't fall off these steps and I find a marker that works. No guarantees. Where's Gabe at? I'll throw it his direction. So the fruit of the Spirit, I need my glasses, and I got to use this other one. Love. Oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm practicing. Love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, that's a great one. Kindness, goodness. Can you guys still see this? Or do I got to switch markers? Faithfulness. I'm losing it. Who's in charge of markers around here? All right. Faithfulness. Still good? Gentleness. And self-control. These are your matrix. So if today you were taking a quiz and we handed out a piece of paper to all of you and said on a scale of 1 to 10, every one of these questions, where would you rate yourself? No one say anything. We don't want to reveal how bad you people are. I'm very serious what I'm getting ready to say. I did this. I've never done this. This just all came to me this week. It bothered me a lot. It bothered me a lot. Not about where everyone else is at, not about all the people. Like, I work with two heathen brothers. Like, I can score them. I can score them accurately, very accurately. Like, Gabe, there's a negative number in patience next to Gabe. And I'm right there. Me and him score the same on that one, by the way. But where would you score yourself? Where would you evaluate yourself? You need to think about that. 1 to 10, how would you evaluate yourself? Then it came back to me 4 years ago, 3 years ago, somewhere around there. I heard a message. I don't know if I completely agree with the message. I can't say I don't because I'm, again, that marker's quitting on me. I don't know. The part that stuck out to me was, is this pastor that was preaching the message said that the gifts of the Spirit are like the body. He said, this is spirit, this is soul, and this is body. And that absolutely, I connected with this. Like, that's right. And what I say about that is those are fruits that I really don't have anything to do with. I can't produce these. These come into me and come out of me because of the Spirit of God. Right? I don't know about soul and body and which one of these flip back and forth. So I kind of just threw this one in here. But one thing that I kind of just lumped these together because of the way my brain works, I could make an argument that self-control and kindness, I could kind of like, those are both kind of the, not the same, but same combination to get them to work, whatever. Whatever the difference is here. I don't want to focus here yet. I just want to focus right here for a minute. Abiding. You have to start here. So in your self-evaluation of yourself, when you're looking at this, and you're seriously looking at the fruit of the Spirit that's in you, can you evaluate, do I have love? Is that love circumstantial? Do I have unconditional love? And you may say, I score a zero on that. So be it, right? This isn't actually about where you score, except for you. That's a hard question to ask. Do I have unconditional love, or do I have an expectation on people? I have expectations, because I live in a world that requires expectations, right? So set that to the side. Do I love the way Jesus would love? Do I have joy? Do you have joy in your life? Do you have peace in your life? Do those two come and go? They do in my life. I tell you, I'm not sure I've had the joy of the Lord for a long, long time, just being completely transparent with you guys. I've felt the peace of God, and I feel the peace of God. And He shows up in the midst of a lot of problems and a lot of situations, and I feel that, but the one that the Lord really honed in on me was joy. He's like, Chris, your joy's gone. My response is, yeah, if I could fix that, I'd fix it, right? You can. 10 times. 10 times. Abide. You can't deal with any of this. I would submit to you that you have to start here. Most of us are down here, and I know I'm in your way, most of us are down here focused on all the things because my kids will tell you, like, this right here, if my kids scored me, I'm negative on this one right here. I'm probably low twos on the kindness thing, right? I'm really gentle-hearted, so I probably got an 8 or so on there. Self-control, might be next to Gabe at negative on that one too, but, right? So when you go through this, but I don't know how to fix that I'm not naturally patient. I don't know how to fix that I'm not naturally kind sometimes. Those, I would submit to you that this right here is the difference between 30 and 60 and 30 and 100. This is the difference between fruit and much fruit and more fruit. But you've got to start here. I have to get the ground ready. It's so God. It's not on us anyways. He knows what our inabilities is. Like Ray said a few weeks ago, like that's also wrote down in my notes. He's already factored in our stupidity, I think you said. Or I changed it to stupidity because it fits me. But He's already factored that in. He already knows that I'm not capable of all of these things, but He is. But the problem is that if we don't evaluate it, and I have not been evaluating this, I'm going to take a snapshot of this and send this to Tim, and he'll have a spreadsheet put together by Friday, and he'll tell us how to do this. But on a serious note, What is my level of love? What is my level of peace? What is my level of joy? Before I even get to the other six. This is living in the Spirit. This is what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. This is the kingdom of God. Because those things that we're all talking about doing, that we're all evaluating on the secondary. See, the thing is if you'll get those in, if you'll get these things in order, you won't be offended at the guy that's drinking a beer or smoking a cigar or the guy that ended up in a marital affair. You'll be able to forgive him the way God forgave him, no matter what the situation is. We want to come over the top and judge that fruit without putting in place the ability to judge it. Because we're always going to be wrong if we don't do this. And the fact of the matter is that God is about healing people. He's about restoring situations. He's not about completely unveiling everything and tearing it all down so that someone can be exposed. He's about restoration. And the body of Christ has done a really good job of shooting their own wounded. Because we spend more time evaluating the wounded than we do evaluating ourselves. And we don't like that scripture that says that we should get the plank out of our own eye before we try to get the speck out of someone else's. That's offensive to me. I know more than, I'm smarter than that. No, you're not, Chris. No, you're not. So the questions then that the Lord said is that this was where he took it to the next level with me was, is that here, Chris, here's the evaluation I want you to do. I want you to score yourself on 1 to 10 on fruit in my life. Me and God. Those are the two people, right? That's the combination. Just me and him. 1 to 10 in my marriage. 1 to 10 in my family. 1 to 10 in my job. Not on measuring everybody the way I've been measuring them. Measuring everyone is, do I see these three things in my wife? Not evaluating whether she's performing or not, can I look at her face and be like, there's peace on her? She's got joy. Because I'm not producing that, and she's not producing that, but we're married. We're together. Does she have those things? I will tell you what all of us have the ability to evaluate. We have the ability as Christians to evaluate all three of those on someone else. You've already been given that because you didn't produce it. And the Holy Spirit that's in you, when you have it, you can see it as well. Or when you'll stop to look at it, just go around and look at people. This is an indicator. It's a huge indicator. It's not the only indicator. And it doesn't mean because you don't see this that they're not believers. I can tell you, if you spend much time with me, you might be like, I don't even know if that guy knows Jesus. If these are the indicators, right? That's the value of relationship. Once I know that, so I can tell you, my brothers, I know them. I know Jimmy really well. I know David really well. I'm getting to know other people. I'm getting to know Matt very well. Once you know that, I can look at them and be like, hey, there's a red flag here. There's a problem. That's the value of the body of Christ. Me going and reaming on someone that they're not all these other things, these are different issues, different levels. But if you're going to go here with Jimmy, if I'm going to tell Jimmy, like, you're out of control, dude, first thing I better do is figure out if these things are in place before I'm even going to talk to him about this. Right? And I'm talking about my nephew, Jimmy. I don't even want to talk about Jimmy Phillips. I'm just going to, Jimmy, you're not allowed to say anything. Jimmy, I'm going to make a confession in front of the whole church. I'm not going to retaliate on Jimmy Phillips. That's all I'm going to say. Well, they might tell me that I should retaliate on you. Well, that's what we'll do. We'll vote. No. Over the years, my cows have made their way to Jimmy's house multiple times. Jimmy is my cow alert guy. He calls me, Chris, you got cows out. Jimmy called me on April 1st this year and said, Chris, all your cows are running down 327. Like, that's a worst case scenario for us. Cows on Jimmy's pet yard, yeah, Michelle might kill me, but it's Jimmy's. Cows on 327, different deal. I got up, I was running out of my office. If he would not have told me April Fools, I would have been home like in two more minutes. So when he told me April Fools, I said, I love you, Jimmy. You are a wonderful individual.
You should be apologizing.
Yes. I'm speaking today, Jim. You can't tell him that. Wait till next week when somebody else is speaking. I did not say Christian things to Jimmy. Me and God. Again, all of us that are married and been married for any amount of time know that it's pretty easy to be telling your other half what they need to be doing, right? Pretty easy to be able to evaluate what's wrong with them, what they're not providing, what they're not doing. That's normal. I would encourage you to start here. I would encourage you to evaluate, unless you have a wife like mine who's perfect, but start here. Is there love? Is there joy? Is there peace? All of us are going to have flaws in there. I mean, I don't know that I'm ever going to be completely patient. Maybe. I'm not going to say I'm not. But I know that that's a real struggle for me. But with God, it's the same thing with loving. I didn't really know. I grew up in church, and one of the things, you know, like the rest of you, is that we're required to love. Well, how do you do that? I mean, and this was, I remember in high school being like write down, like, get just bullet point, like, four things of how do you love someone that you just got in a fight with? Like, you want to punch this guy in the face. I mean, take it to the nth degree, right? Take it to that person. It's not really about that you don't dislike them. Like, you really don't like them. Like, how do you love them? How does that work? Well, when you begin to understand that it's His love and it happens through you and it's not by you because you can't fabricate it, and you will begin to, when you begin to walk in that and you begin to get that abiding place down and you spend that time with the Father, that's your task. That's your only task. I have to choose to abide. That's what He's not going to do. Yeah, Nick.
When you were thinking, I was just hearing this, James chapter 1, for whoever looks into himself into the mirror, right?
Yep.
For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding himself in a mirror. He looks at himself, he goes away, and he straightway forgets what manner of man he is. But then it goes on to say, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continuous, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work. What you're putting on board there is what you're telling us is it's really far more about self-reflection than it is criticism of somebody else. And that scripture actually says that. Yeah. Most of us look at it, go away, and we forget that we think we're perfect.
Yes. So yes.
Staying in front of that mirror is difficult.
Yes. God will not require you to abide. It's your choice. He will not make you abide. He will not make you accept the gift that He has for you. It's your choice. That's where great debates over time about free will, no free will, and I know the Bible doesn't talk about free will, not free will specifically, but I can tell you this, He won't make you go there. That gives you a choice in the matter. Are there relationships in your life that are broken because of something here? Because of offense? There are in my life. There are situations that I have allowed to become strained because I have a viewpoint. I have an opinion. I've been wronged. And I haven't let those three fruits of the Spirit, I can tell you, I have relationships that I can tie to those first three things, that none of those three things exist in that relationship. And it's because I have stood over here and said, I'm done with that. They're wrong. And if I brought 10 people in here and told them the whole story, all 10 people would agree with me. You got any of those situations? I do. Jimmy?
You're really screwed up.
Thank you, Jimmy. We do, don't we? I know, we do. What are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with them? We serve a Father that did way more than get us a ticket to heaven. We serve a Jesus that paid the ultimate price so that we could live out a life here that's way more than most of us are living. We serve a Father. There's a reason Jesus said that it's better that I go and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. Because He's the key to abiding. He's the one going, here, come over here, let me tell you something. Come over here, let me show you something. Come over here, let me reveal to you what's on the mind of the Father. Come over here, let me give you the truth about the situation. Come over here and let me sort out everything you can't figure out by just watching and observing, because you're watching and observing, you're still probably going to be wrong. I want real fruit. I don't want manufactured fruit. If I never get out of the top three, but I perfect the top three, I'm going to be real happy about that. But I'll take it. I want peace. I want the joy of the Lord. I want to feel His unconditional love for me. Because when you let Him love you that way, then you will know how to love others that way. That's His grace. Once you get there, the rest of the stuff will start to work out. You'll start to see the rest of those fruits in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. Thank You for this body of people. Father, I thank You for what You're doing here. I thank You for what You're doing in our young people. Father, we just invite Your Holy Spirit to just be real and be loud in our lives. Father, we want You. We want what You have. We want stronger marriages. We want stronger families. We want stronger businesses and our jobs and influence and Your influence, not ours. That Father, they're not pointing to us, but they're pointing to You. Father, I thank You for all that You're doing. I ask that You would just help us to not get trapped in a system, not get trapped in a measuring device, but get trapped in You and in the abiding place that brings all this to fruition in our lives. Father, we thank You for that. Bless today. Bless what's getting ready to happen with all these lunches and just getting together in fellowship. We thank You for this beautiful day outside. We thank You for all You do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can I share something that
Yes.
confirmation for what you're talking about? I literally wrote this down this week, and I titled it, Holy Spirit, Bring the Plow. And it's Proverbs 20, verse 4, and it says, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. And I wrote, do not be lazy in tending to the cold areas of your heart. Ask Holy Spirit to reveal areas of your heart that are cold. This is urgent. Spring is around the corner, and there are new seeds and new births that the Father is trying to plant in our hearts. But if we do not allow Holy Spirit to plow the hard soil of our heart, we cannot receive the seeds He is planting and will miss out on the harvest.
Amen. Did you guys hear that? Allow the hard places in your life be plowed. It's definitely, this is beautiful. Windows are open. It's nice. Spring's here. Planting season is upon us spiritually as well.